Shalom to all. Today's daf is about Metzia daf Samach Beis, and we are starting Samach Alf Amen Beis, the bottom line with the words Amar Nachum Bar Yitzchak. And today's daf is sponsored Lili Nishmas Mars Meir Sar Bas Yaakov Maisha Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah, and Lili Nishmas Mars Rivka Bas Meir Zev Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah. And we were right in the middle of the discussion. Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yechon argued if Dayanim could force a lender to return ribbis that he collected. Rebbe Elazar holds that only ribbis Dayraisas Yotzei B'Dayanim, but not ribbis Darabanan. Whereas Rebbe Yechon argues that even ribbis Dayraisa is not. And we brought three different sources for Rebbe Yechon. As another Gemara tells us, Amar Nachum Bar Yitzchak, my time with Rebbe Elazar. What's Rebbe Elazar's reasoning? The ribbis dayraisa is yotzei b'dayanin. That's because Tamar Kor, the pasuk tells us samach beis amal alaf on top v'cheyachicha imach. Your brother shall live with you. And what do we learn from here? Ahad erle keich denechi. You should return the ribbis to him so that he can live with you. The beginning of this pasuk is talking about ribbis, as it says al tikach mita neshach v'tarbis. And then the end of the pasuk is saying v'cheyachicha imach, which means according to Rebbe Elazar that you have to return ribbis that you collected. Now Rebbe Yechonan hay v'cheyachicha imach my avilei. What does Rebbe Yechonan do with this pasuk? It seems to be pretty clear like Rebbe Elazar. The answer is v'elech etanya needs it for the following brisa. We have two people walking along the way together, and only one of them has a jug of water. If both of them drink from the water, they're both going to die because there's not enough water for both of them. But if only one of them drinks the water, he's going to reach an inhabited place and he's going to live, but that means the other person is going to die. It's better that both of them drink from the water and they should both die, and one of them, meaning the owner of the water, shouldn't watch the other person die of thirst. Now this is the prevailing understanding until Rabbi Kiva came along and taught. The pasuk tells you your brother should live with you. What do you learn from here? Your life comes before your brother's life, because it says your brother shall live with you. First you live, then your brother lives. And that's what Rabbi Yechon does with this pasuk, and he also has nothing to do with returning ribbis. Says, we have a question on Rabbi Yechon. Tells us, let's say the father died and left them money that he collected, but that money was ribbis. Even though they know it's ribbis, they do not have to return it. What do we learn from here? That their father did have the chiyuv to return it. They're the children, so they don't have to return it, but their father did have the chiyuv. And so this is clearly not like Rabbi Yechonon. The Gemara says no, but then really according to the strict halacha, their father doesn't have to return it either. It's just that since the seifa of the brisa has to tell us, if their father left them a cow, a garment, or anything specific like that, meaning it's not money, but it's an item, and this item was collected by ribbis, that they do have to return, because the covenant of their father, because if they keep this item, people are going to say, oh, that's the item that their father collected by ribbis, and that's going to disgrace to the father, Tananami Resha, but they do. That's where the Resha of the Brisa as well says that they don't have to return it. But again, we can't learn from the Resha of the Brisa that their father does have to return it. Their father didn't have to return it either. Now they're going to ask on this explanation of the Seifa. Would they really have to return this cow or garment or something else because of the covenant of their father? Kari Khan, why don't we read the pasuk over here of Vinasi Bam Chalei Sa'ar? You're not allowed to curse a Nasi, an important person in your nation. And what do we learn from here? You're only not allowed to curse another Yid, meaning you're not allowed to bring disgrace to him if he does what he's supposed to be doing. But their father charged ribbis and collected it, so he's not considered as somebody who is oisim maase amcha. Why should they have to care about his honor? The Gemara answers because Rav Pinchas Mishpeh Rava. It's like he tells us b'shasa tshuva is where the person did tshuva. Hachanami said over here b'shasa tshuva. We're talking about where the father did tshuva, and that's why they have to return it because their father is considered a nasi. He's considered a chashuva person, and therefore the children have to make sure not to bring disgrace to his name. Ask the Gemara yasa tshuva. If the father did tshuva, my bai gabei. So what's his cow, garment, or other item doing by the kids? The answer is shalai hispik lahachzer shemais. The father did tshuva, but didn't have a chance to return it, and then he died. So that's why the children have to return it. So this price is not a question of Rabbi Yechonon. The Gemara continues, Mesa, we have another question of Rabbi Yechonon. We have a price that says, HaGazlonim u'malvei ribbis af pishagavu machzirin. Gazlonim and people that lend on interest, even though they collected, they have to return it. So right now we're understanding that Gazlonim and Malvei ribbis are two separate people. So we ask, Gazlonim, my af pishagavu ikka. What does that mean? Gazlonim, even though they collected, e gazel, gazel. If he stole, he stole. He didn't collect anything, he stole it. And e loy gazel, if he didn't steal it, Gazlonim karsluhu, so we're calling them Gazlonim. If they didn't steal anything, so why are we calling them a Gazlon? So we answer, you're right. Ela ema, let's understand. The Brisa as follows: Gazlonim. When the Brisa mentions Gazlonim, my nihu. Who are these Gazlonim that we're talking about? Malvi ribbis. They are people that lend with ribbis. Meaning Gazlonim and Malvi ribbis are the same person in the Brisa. And the Brisa is telling us, Alfi shagavu. Even though they collected the ribbis, they collected the interest. Machzirin. They have to return it. So we see very clearly, not like Rabbi Yechonon, that when a person collects ribbis, he does have to return it. The Gemara tells us, you're right. Tanaihi. It's actually machlekas tanaim. The Tanya of Brisa ben Chenin v'Blaz ben Yaakov. Paiter samalav es ha'arev. He paters the lender and the arev, which is the guarantor. Mipnei sheish ben komasei, because they have a komasei. What's a komase? So we know that one does not receive malchus for a lav that could be fixed up by an assay. That's called a lav hanita klase. For example, if one stole, he was over a lav and he should technically get malchus. However, he doesn't because the pasuk says veheshes akzela, return the gzela, and that's all the person has to do. He returns the stolen thing and then he won't get malchus. That's a lav hanita klase. And we're saying over here the malv and the arev, even though we're dealing with a lav of ribbis, do not get malchus because there's a komase. So we continue my komase. What's the komase over here? La mishum darmina luhu? Isn't because we tell them kumaduru, get up and return it? Mechal, we see from here here, the Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama of this Brisa holds, that this money is not able to be returned. In other words, there's no assay to return this money, and even if they return it, it's not considered a lavanitikla assay, and they would get Malkus. And so we have Machlokas Tanoim. The Tanakama of this Brisa would hold that ribbis that was collected is not Yetzibidayonim, and that's where Rabbi Yechon holds like, whereas Rabbi Nechemin, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, they hold that it is Yetzibidayonim, you do have to return ribbis, and that's like Rabbi Lozar. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not true, that's not what the Machlokas says. My Kumase, what does it mean that we have a Kumase over here? Likraya Shtara. It means to tear up the Shtar. That's even before the ribbis was collected. In other words, according to everybody, if the ribbis was already collected, it's too late, and the fellow would get Malkus. And when the Brisa said we have a Kumase, it means before anything was collected, the Shtar could be torn up. When the Shtar was written, he was over on ribbis because he could collect it based off of the Shtar. However, he won't get Malkus because it could be undone by tearing up the Shtar. We further explain, Maikosavar, what do we hold over here? Ikosavar Shtar Ha'imeligvas Kagabe Dami. If you want to say that a Shtar that could be collected with is as if it was already collected with, well, Vavdu Sirayu. That means the moment the Shtar was written, they already did the Isser of collecting ribbis. Again, even though Bapayel ribbis wasn't collected, it's as if it was collected, and according to everybody, they should get Malkus. And if you like a Gabi Dami, and if you want to say that a Shtar that could be collected with is still not considered like it was collected, so Haloy of Loy Klum, no one did anything wrong over here, and according to everybody, the Malvis should not get Malkus. And the answer is, Loylem Kosavar Shtar Ligvas Lavka Gabi Dami. Really, everybody holds that a Shtar that could be collected with is not like the loan was already collected. Bakamash Malan, the whole Chiddush over here is, Deshuma Milsahi, that a Shuma, an evaluation or a designation, is considered like something. In other words, when we have an official agreement that there's going to be ribbis in this transaction, that itself is a lav. Again, even though ribbis wasn't collected yet, it's considered like he was over a lav, he's just not going to get malchus for that lav because he could tear up the shtar, and then the ribbis won't be able to be collected. And we continue with this hachinam istav. It's actually logical to say that. Then now we have a mishnah that says ve'elu ivrim b'lay saseh, the following people are over and b'lay saseh of ribbis: hamalve, the lender; v'haloyve, and the borrower; ha'ariv, the guarantor on the loan; v'ha'edim, and the edim that signed on the document. So basically, makulu avin ma'isa. We understand that everybody over here did a ma'isa. The malve collected the ribbis from the ariv. The loyve paid the ariv back the ribbis that he collected. So we see that everyone was involved in doing a ma'isa of paying or collecting ribbis. El edim ayavid. What ma'isa did the edim do? They didn't do anything wrong here. Elav shmamina must be learned from here. The shuma milsa he shmamina. It's clear that shuma is a milsa. The moment that it's officially established that somebody has to pay ribbis over here, that's already considered like doing a lav, and that's exactly what the edim accomplished. They signed on this loan document that had ribbis in it, and therefore they're chayv as well. And so we see that this brass that we brought is not actually machlokas tanoim, whether or not ribbis is yotze b'dayonim, because they're arguing about something totally different. Oh, we continue talking about ribbis yotze b'dayonim, the ability for bezdin to take away ribbis that was collected and return it to the borrower. And here we have a rule about this. Amar Safra of Safra says, Kol she'ilu b'dinehem mitziyim miloy v'lamalva, any situation that if it was in their dinim, in their courts, meaning in the non-Jewish court system, if they would take the money from the loyve to the malve, meaning they would extract the ribbis from the loyve and give it to the malve because of the agreed upon loan. So b'dinenu, if that situation was in our court system, in the Yiddish court, machzir m'malve l'loyve, then we're going to take that money away from the malve and give it back to the loyve because this is a real case of ribbis. However, kol she'ilu b'dinehem ein mitziyim miloyve l'malve, if in a non-Jewish court system, the courts would not force the loyve to pay the malve because they don't really consider it ribbis. So b'dinenu ein machzir m'malve l'loyve, in our court system, if the malve had collected this ribbis, we're not going to force him to return it to the loyve because it's not considered like real ribbis, or at least it's not considered ribbis d'iraisa. And that's our Safra's rule. So I'm only a bailer of Yosef. If I ask Rav Yosef, uklalahu, is that really a klal? Is that a hard fast rule? We have a situation that's clearly not like that. What about a case like this, which we're going to see later on in more detail, but the classic case of saw b'sa is where Ruvain borrows a saw of grain from Shimon, and he's going to return a saw of grain. And the reason why that's also drabanon is because in the interim, meaning after Ruvain borrowed it, it's possible that it's going to go up in price, and then when he's returning this saw, he's in essence returning something of higher value, so that's ribbis. And when we have such a case of saw b'sa in the secular court, they would make the loive pay the malve. But in our court system, once Ruvain repaid Shimon this loan, this saw b'sa, we're not going to take the extra money that Shimon received and make him give it back to Ruvain. So we see the Rav Safra's rule does not apply in this situation. So I'm going to respond to him, that's not a question. Them, in the non-Jewish court system, they treat it as a b'kadon. When Ruvain borrows a saw of grain with the stipulation that he's going to pay back a saw of grain, they just view that as a b'kadon, as if Ruvain has a b'kadon of Shimon's, and so he just has to return that b'kadon. They don't view it as a loan at all. So therefore, it's not viewed as a situation where the secular court is collecting interest from the loive to be paid to the malve. Again, it's not considered interest at all, just considered a case of b'kadon. Now we have another question. What about a mashkoin without deduction? What does that mean? So the borrower gave the lender a field as a mashkoin, as a collateral for the loan, with a stipulation that he, the lender, is allowed to benefit from the produce, and nothing's going to be deducted from the actual loan. That's mashkanta b'loy nechiyaisa. To be the name in the secular court system, mitzien miloive l'malve. They will force the loive to pay the malve. For example, if the borrower takes the produce from the field, instead of allowing the lender to take the produce, the non-Jewish court system is going to take it from him and give it back to the lender. However, place one base on top, uvdinenu, in our court systems, ein machzirim malva loiva. We would not take this money collected by the malva and return it back to the loiva. So once again, we have another case. In the secular court systems, they will force the lender to pay the borrower this ribbis, whereas in the Yiddish Abezdin, if the lender ended up collecting this type of ribbis, we're not going to force him to repay it. So once again, we see that Rav Safra's din doesn't apply over here. So Amalei responded to him, that's also not a question. Inhu b'tarus zvini asalei daihu. They, the secular courts, view this whole transaction as a sale. In other words, in the secular court systems, when Reuven borrowed money from Shimon and gave Shimon his field and allowed him to take the produce, that's just considered a sale. It's not considered a loan, and therefore it's not a case of interest, so we don't have a question on Rav Safra's din. Therefore, back to the original din, El kol she'ilu b'dinayim dekam Rav Safra, my aslash minon. What's Rav Safra coming to teach us when he tells us the statement of his, of kol she'ilu b'dinayim, if they do this in their court systems, we do this in our court systems? And the answer is, hachi aslash minon, this is what's coming to teach us. Here's the first part of the statement. Kol she'ilu b'dinayim adzin miloi v'lamalve, b'dinenu machzirim malve loive. If in their court systems, they're going to make the loive pay this interest to the malve, so then in our court systems, we're going to take that interest collected by the malve and give it back to the loive. My nihu, what's that referring to? Ribbis ketzutza. This is set or prearranged ribbis, uch Reb Elazar, just like Reb Elazar says. As we started out today with this machloikas, Reb Elazar holds the ribbis dairaisa is yaitse b'dayanim, is taken away from the malve by Bezdin and given back to the loive. And that's ribbis dairaisa. On to the second part of Safra's statement, kol she'ilu b'dinayim ein matzien, b'dinenu ein machzirin. And in any situation in the non-Jewish court systems are not going to force the loive to pay the malve the ribbis. So in our court systems, if the malve ended up collecting the ribbis, we're not going to force him to return it. What's that referring to? Ribbis mukdemes, ribbis mucharas. And we're going to learn more about this in greater detail in the Mishnah on Ayin Hay, but in short, both of these have to do with a gift given to a lender. That's just avak ribbis, it's ribbis drabanon, and this is something that is not yaitse b'dayanim. And continuing to explain the Mishnah, we had said, Ketzad, what's an example of tarbis? Let's just explain this again, somewhat in detail, so we can have a real clarity on the Gemara. We had said that this is called psika al peres, a prearranged deal for produce. Reuven pays Shimon for a certain amount of produce, which is going to be given to him over the course of time. And even if the market value of this produce goes up in the interim, Shimon still gives Reuven the agreed upon amount of produce at the agreed upon price. And even though this is technically going to cause Shimon a loss, he's okay with it because he received all the money in advance and has the ability to use it for other investments. Now, looking at this case in the context of ribbis, the money advanced by the buyer is a loan to be repaid by the seller with produce at a later date. Now, if the cost of the produce goes up in the interim, the borrower will have paid more than he received, and that's technically a problem. Now, this situation is okay, and there's no ribbis issues, only in one of the two following situations. Number one, if the seller actually has the produce in stock at the time of payment, he just won't be delivering it until later, and this is not considered like a loan anymore because the sale is complete. The produce just needs to be delivered. But the money exchanged hands and the produce was there, the seller had it, so there's no ribbis issues. Or the second situation where there wouldn't be any ribbis issues is even if the seller does not currently have the produce. However, the agreed upon price is the fair market value. And the reason why it's okay in this situation is because it's as if the seller has the produce. Because since he received money from the buyer, he can simply take this money and walk into just about any store and buy the produce that he needs at this agreed upon price and deliver it to the buyer. And therefore, again, it's like he has the produce. And so it wouldn't be ribbis in this situation. Now let's just speak out the particular case the Mishnah had said. Reuven bought wheat from Shimon for a dinar zav, which is 25 dinarim. And how much wheat was it? It was a kur. And that was the shar. That was the fair market value for a kur of wheat. That's how much it costs, 25 dinarim. Then the price of wheat went up to 30 dinarim a kur. And then Reuven told Shimon, okay, I want my wheat, please give it to me because I would like to sell it and buy wine with it. So Shimon told him, I don't have wheat, I'm really sorry, but I'll take on the wheat that I owe you as a 30 dinar loan, because remember, the wheat now went up in value to 30 dinarim, and I'll give you, Reuven, 30 dinarim of wine because you wanted wine. And the Mishnah concluded by saying, but he doesn't have wine, meaning Shimon does not have wine, and therefore it's a case of marbis. And the Gemara begins by asking on this, v'chi ein lo yayin, my hava, just because Shimon doesn't have wine currently, why is that a problem? V'tanya, we've read it says, ein paskan al peiros, ad she'etz ashar. They were not allowed to make psika al peiros. We're not allowed to make this business deal that we spoke about, where payment is advanced for a product that's going to be delivered at a later date. This is only allowed to happen until the shar was yatsa, meaning until there's a fair market value. Yatsa shar, but once the official price of the market is set, so Paiskin, they can make this deal. Afal pisha ein lazeh, yesh lazeh. As we had said, even though this one doesn't have, the other one has. Meaning, even though the seller doesn't currently have this product, everybody else has the product, and everyone's selling it for the same price, so it's considered like he has the product. And therefore, back to our Mishnah, what does it make a difference if Shimon doesn't have the wine currently? He could obtain this wine at this value anyway. anywhere, and so it's like he has the wine. What's the big deal? Amar Rabbi, Rabbi explains, Masisa Ba Lacha B'dmei Maskinon. Mishnah is talking about where he, the seller, is taking on their value as a debt. Namely, Shimon, the seller, tells the buyer, Ruvain, the 30 dinarim of wheat that I owe you, they're a debt. I owe you 30 dinarim, and I'm going to give you 30 dinarim of wine to repay the debt. And that's really how he explained the Mishnah. And the reason why it's usher is because at this time, the seller didn't receive any money that he could use to purchase the wine. As we had explained, Psika Ala Paris is only permitted if the seller doesn't currently have the product, only if he received money at the time, where he can now take this money and go buy the product with it. But since right now, when the seller Shimon takes on this debt of 30 dinarim, he's not receiving any money for it, and that means he's not able to buy wine, this is a situation where Psika Ala Paris is not permitted. And that's why the Mishnah is telling us that it's usher. And where do we see this? It's just like the following Braisa. Somebody who's owed a money by his friend, and he went and stood by his granary, and he told him, tell me, I see, give me my money, shani writes like a chitim, I want to buy wheat with it. Bummer loy, and the guy that owed the money said, chitim yashli shani nice lecha, I have wheat that I'll give you instead of the money. Go and turn the debt into product, like the value that is currently, vani elecha kol shnei maser chodesh, and I'm going to give you that product that you want, the wheat that you want, for the next 12 months. Usher, this is usher. Why is that? Because it's not like he got any money. Since the borrower is trying to repay his debt with wheat, but he's going to be giving the lender the wheat over the course of 12 months, this is like a case of psika ala peiros, and since he's not receiving money right now because he received the money for the loan some while back, this is also because of ribbis. However, I'm Abaye. Abaye asks a question now on Rava's explanation of our Mishnah. If you want to say that our Mishnah is a situation that it's not like Yisari Abal Yadai, it's not like he's receiving money right now, and that's why it's usher, well then my Iria ain't loy. Then why does our Mishnah say that the reason why it can't be done is because he doesn't have wine? Afilu yeshlai nami. Even if Shimon does have wine that he's able to give Ruvain, it still would be usher, because according to you, it's an issue that he's not receiving money right now. And therefore, even if Shimon does have the wine to give to Ruvain, since he's not receiving money right now, it would be a ribbis issue. And therefore, that can't be the explanation of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says very clearly the reason why this is usher is because yayin ein loy, he doesn't have wine. And therefore, El Amar Abaye, Abaye has a totally different explanation of our Mishnah. Masnisin ketani Rav Safra beribbis beRav Chia. Our Mishnah is like what Rav Safra taught, which is one of the ribbis brises that was taught in the Beis Medrash of Rav Chia. And here we're gonna have a totally different understanding of our Mishnah. Ketani Rav Safra beribbis beRav Chia. Rav Safra taught as follows: Yesh dvarim shem mutarim. We have things that are halachically permitted, vasur b'nei haramas ribbis, but they're usher because they're haramas ribbis. It looks like there's some sort of trick that's being done in order to avoid ribbis. Again, halachically it's 100% permitted, but it looks like something shady is happening, and therefore it's not allowed. Ketzad, what's the situation? So Amar Loi, Ruvain told Shimon, halveini mana, please lend me a mana. And it's important to note that a mana is 25 slaim. So Amar Loi, Shimon told Ruvain, mana ainli, I don't have a mana of cash, but chitin mana yeshli, I have wheat worth a mana, shani nice and lachai, I could give that to you, and you could take that and sell it and get your mana that you need. Nasal chitin mana, so Shimon gave Ruvain chitin worth a mana, v'chaz of lachan amenu, basim arba sela, and then Shimon bought it back from him for 24 sela. It's worth 25 slaim, but he bought it for 24. Mutter, this is technically mutter. However, v'asr lasus kain mnei haramas ribbis, it's usher to do this because of haramas ribbis. Just to clarify, halachically there's no issue here, but if you look at the bottom line, the borrower received 24 slaim cash and is repaying 25. And again, the reason it's usher is because of haramas ribbis. The impression given is that the wheat was never really the main objective here. The money was, and the wheat was just being used as part of this ruse to enable the lender to charge interest. And that's why it's usher. And achanami sotu over here, that's exactly what our Mishnah is saying. Kagan, for example, the Amar, he said, Halveini shleshim dinarim, please lend me 30 dinarim. Amar lay, so the lender said, shleshim dinarim ainli, I don't have 30 dinarim. Chitim shleshim dinarim yeshli, shani nice lecha, I have 30 dinarim worth of wheat, and I'll give that to you. And if you want, you could sell that wheat, and then you'll have your 30 dinarim. So nasan lechitim shleshim dinarim, he gave him the 30 dinarim worth of wheat, v'chazav lachem menub dinar zav, and then he bought the wheat back from him for a dinar zav, which means that the borrower only received 25 dinarim at the end of the day, and not 30 dinarim. And then the lender's going back to the borrower saying, I want the 30 dinarim of wheat that I lent you, because I like to buy wine with it. Remember, that's what our Mishnah said. And then the borrower said, well, I don't have wheat, but if you want wine, I'll take it on now as a debt of 30 that I have to give you in wine. And the Mishnah had said, since he doesn't have wine, this is usur. As we continue explaining this, if the Leiva does have wine, and if we could give the lender 30 dinar worth of wine, so he's just taking pears from him, and there's no issue. In other words, there's nothing shady over here. It doesn't look like haramas ribbis. The borrower took 30 dinarim worth of wheat from the lender, and he's giving him back 30 dinarim worth of wine. Yes, you're right. The borrower ended up selling the lender the wheat for only 25, but over here, the main transaction that we're looking at is the wheat for the wine, and therefore there's no haramas ribbis, and that's beseder. Whereas v'iloi, if the borrower does not have wine currently, kim de lesle chamra, since he doesn't have the wine, he's going to be taking money from him, and mechzik ribbis, that looks like ribbis. In other words, this is a haramas ribbis case. It looks shady over here because he took 30 of wheat from him, sold it back to him for 25, and then later on, he's going to have to give him 30, and this is all in cash, this is in money, and this is not in product. And that's just like the haramas ribbis case of Rav Safra. And that's what Amish is talking about, and that's why it makes a difference whether or not not he has wine. However, Amali Rava, now Rava asks Abaye on this explanation of the Mishnah how it makes sense. Ihachi, if that's really so, if that's what our Mishnah is really talking about, so our Mishnah quoted the lender telling the borrower, Ten li chitai, give me my wheat, demei chitai mi baile. According to you, we should really be telling him, give me the money of my wheat. And so Abaye answers, you're right, Tani, really the Mishnah should say, demei chitai. And that's really what should be written in the Mishnah. However, Rava continued asking him, if your explanation is really correct, instead of the Mishnah saying, Sha'ani maichron, I want you to give me my wheat because I'm going to sell them and buy wine with it, Shemachartim l'chayim ba'ale. It should really say, please give me the wheat that I sold you, because that's what happened in this transaction. So Rava answers, you're right. Tini shemachartim l'cha. That's really what the Mishnah should say. Rava continues asking him, borrower had told the lender, okay, I don't have wheat, so your wheat is 30 dinarim that I owe you, and I'll give that to you in wine. Well, that doesn't make sense according to the way you and Abaye are explaining the Mishnah, because mekar nami hachik minui lave. Originally, that's what he accepted upon himself. Again, according to Abaye's explanation of the Mishnah, the first transaction was that the borrower went to the lender and said, can I please borrow 30? And the lender said, I don't have 30, but I have wheat worth 30. And so the wording of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. We're in the middle of the transaction, all of a sudden the borrower is saying, okay, the wheat that I owe you should be considered like a 30 dinar loan. He already owed 30 dinar from beforehand. And so my answer is, you're right. Hachik amar lei, this is really what the borrower is telling the lender. B'dmei chitecha shesisa alai b'shleshim dinar, for the value of the wheat that you had made into a 30 dinar loan for me, harei l'cha etzli bohen yayin, that 30 dinar of wheat that I borrowed from you originally is now a 30 dinar loan that I owe you in wine. But v'yayin ein lei, he doesn't have wine. So once again, Abaye has to tweak the wording of the Mishnah in order for it to make sense in his pshat. However, Rava continues asking him, v'abedinar zav hakur v'chena sharkatani. The wording of the Mishnah was that he had bought a kor of wheat for one dinar, and that was the market value. But according to Abaye, the case is that the value of wheat was 30 dinarim and not 25. And because of all these questions that Rava has on Abaye's shita, Rava has a different explanation, which is similar to the original one, just slightly different. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow with his explanation of our Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.